Jesse started this out with the first part of this sermon here. This is a sermon that Jesus gives. It mirrors the Sermon on the Mount. It is not on a mountain. It's in a kind of next to a lake in a big plain in a big field there with disciples listening. So it's got similar content, but some of it's a little bit different. The blessings come with woes where they don't in Matthew. The blessed of the poor, the hungry, the hated. Great is their reward in heaven. They're building up rewards in heaven. Woe to the rich, the well-fed, the laughing, the popular. You are reaping all your rewards now. Those things are coming to fruition here. There is no reward in eternity for those kinds of things. And then he goes on and he says this statement. So if you've heard that and you're still listening, that's a key part of this whole sermon. If you've heard what I've just said and you're still with me, know that there's a different way to live. And he talks about loving your enemies. And last week we looked at judgment and how we should not be judging others and how we should have discernment and we can be able to see how people live and what it is about their lives based on how they live. But we should not be in a position of judging because it's not our place to do that. Matter of fact, he goes on and talks about having the self-awareness enough to know that we ourselves are full of sin and that we need to be forgiven and that we don't need to be spending all of our time forgetting about our stuff and only pointing out the stuff of the people around us. And he used this illustration of a big plank, and I had the 2x4 and we were walking around with that stuck in our eye and trying to help somebody with a little speck of dust when we have this big monstrosity in our face. But if we have the capacity to be self-aware that God has given us, and we understand that we are forgiven and we have been received mercy, but then we then can remove that plank and understand our brothers and sisters and help have mercy on them and show them the love that they need to have and extend love and mercy to them because they too also need it. And so he goes on in this sermon, and really this whole section is really interconnected, and it weaves together, which makes sense that it does, because Jesus is the man. So we're going to read chapter 6, 40-45, and connect that back to where we were, and it'll connect to where we're going next week as well. So we're going to read that again, Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Now, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So we talked similarly about this a couple of years ago when we went through the book of James. It's this idea that what goes in can only come out. You can't put in something and then expect something different to come out. So this passage of Scripture is really connected to what we read last week and the week before. And it's really connected to what we talk about next week as well. So Jesus is saying to those who are listening, those who are still with Him after He talked about the woes and the blessings and the things that are not going well for people, if you're still listening with me, He's asking the question, how do you deal with the plank that tells others all around you what they need to know about your heart? If you're unwilling to take this plank out of your face and continue to judge other people, people can begin to see what really is made up and what you're made up of inside your heart or your soul. If you're unwilling to help other people who are going through the same thing you're going through, you're really telling them about the content of your heart. What Jesus is saying is what feeds your soul is what will be returned to others. You can't put in something and expect something else out. Now, I used an illustration last time, and I can't use it twice, but I'll just tell you what I said. Remember, I had the little pots. They were mini. And then I showed you a video about pots being made out of cow poop. Does anybody remember that? No, I should have used it again. You guys don't remember. Man. Nobody remembers anything I say. So these pots were made out of cow poop, and I licked it, and everybody grossed out. Yeah, it wasn't made out of cow poop. It was made out of peat moss. But it's the idea that you can't put in something. This pot was still made out of poop, but when you planted something in it, it gave nourishment. That's why they made it out of cow poop. It was like made out of fertilizer. What you put in is what comes out. You can't put in cow poop and expect something else out. Now, you can put stuff in cow poop, and then roses come out, but it's still poop at the end. See, I just said it so I could say poop more than once time in a sermon. So the idea is what goes in comes out. Now, he talks about this idea of a storehouse, or he doesn't use the word in the version that I've read. If you have a King James Bible, or if you have a New American Standard Bible, it talks about this treasure, this treasury, or a storehouse may be the word that's used in your version. In verse 45, it says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart." That good stored up is just one word in the Greek. And it is the word thesaurus. That's a little bit off, but it's close. Now, this is a thesaurus. Anybody ever used one of these before? If you've ever been in school ever, then you've had to use one most likely. It is a book full of words that tells you what words mean and other words that mean the same thing. They're similar, and you can kind of interchange them. It helps you sound smarter than you actually are. Instead of using the same word over and over again, you can mix it up. So a thesaurus wasn't always just a book full of words. It happened in the 1850s that Roget, I think is how you pronounce this man's name, or Roget, if you don't want to be exactly right, decided that he wanted to take a bunch of words and be able to help other people with English, and he created this book. It's been around since the 1800s. And they have now copyrighted his name, and, you know, he gets that it's called the same thing over and over and again. But before that, books like this were called thesauruses. It's just a dictionary. Any kind of book before Roget got a hold of it was a storehouse of information. So a dictionary, an encyclopedia, a Bible, any kind of anything was used then to describe this storehouse, a place where you can collect important things. And before the English got a hold of it and turned it into a place for books and those kind of things, it's just that. It's just a place where you store stuff. Now, not just normal stuff, not stuff that just kind of sits around your house and collects dust and you forget about it's there, and then, you know, you open the drawer 2 years later and you go, oh, there it is. Not that kind of stuff. The important stuff. The stuff that's very important to you. So if you have stuff that's very, very valuable, you might be willing to go pay a lot of money and go buy a safe and bolt the safe to the floor of the closet in your house and put your stuff in there because you don't want somebody to steal it. You don't want a fire to come and burn it down. You can buy fireproof safes. Those are places to store things. If you're really worried about it, you might even pay the bank enough money to go put it in one of their boxes. And then hope you don't lose the key, because then you got to pay the guy to come drill the bolt out, and it's a big mess. It's places that we store important things. If it's really, really, really valuable, we build a fort around it and call it Fort Knox, and we fill it full of gold. And then we put high-tech security around it and make it where nobody can get in. Because it's important. We need it. It's something we find valuable. Well, this word, thesaurus, means that. Means it's this place where we store important things. Now, we've turned it into a book of words that help you figure out what something means or make you sound smarter than you are. But before that, it meant this. It was a place where we store and we collect. So when Jesus is saying these things, he's talking about this place where you're storing important things. A storehouse of grain, a storehouse of gold. Matter of fact, the medieval position of, I can't ever say the word right, thesaurer is really a synonym for the word treasurer. I bet if you look it up in the thesaurus, it would tell you that. It's just another way of saying this is an important place. So what Jesus is saying then is this collection of things in your heart are not trivial things. They're important things. It's the important things that Jesus is talking about. The storehouse of your soul or your heart. It's a place where you store the things that you deem important. So he's talking about where this comes out. What's coming out is coming out from a place that we are storing important things. So he says there's two kinds of content that Jesus finds in this verse 45. There's good content and there's evil content. The good man has the good content in his storehouse full of good things. The evil man, the evil content. So in context, in this sermon that Jesus is giving, what is the good content? What's the content that he's talking about? Well, there's those who are poor, those who are hungry and persecuted in Jesus' name. There's some goodness in there because your reward is found in heaven. He's talking about storing up love for your enemies. That's the good content in your soul. Having the humility, being humble enough to remove the plank from your eye because you realize that you need to have it removed. Having the capacity to care and have mercy on your brothers and sisters who need the same kind of mercy you needed when you removed that plank, that you're willing to go now remove it and then go help them with the little speck in their own eye. And if you next week, we'll see that there's those who practice the words that Jesus says, and that there's some goodness to what that means, and Jesus talks about that. We'll talk about it next week. And then also those who build a foundation on the things they know about Jesus. Again, next week we'll talk about that. There's some goodness. This is the understanding of the content of this goodness that Jesus is talking about in context here. Now there's also evil in all of this as well. Those who are busy storing up their own earthly treasures, and they realize later on that they're really only temporary. Those who are the enemies of the kingdom of God. These are the enemies that Jesus calls us to love. Those who are enemies of the kingdom. Those who are quick to judge. Those who are unwilling to remove their own plank. And the verse that Gene read this morning, the Pharisees who did not want to align with Jesus. All they cared about was he followed a rule. And they totally ignored the good that he did in healing that man. They're unwilling to remove their own plank. They live as hypocrites. Those who are unwilling to have compassion on their brothers, who need someone to help them, who need someone to help them with their own speck. I mean, they have no capacity, don't want to do that. That's the evil that Jesus is talking about. So, in all of that, then Jesus ends the little section there in verse 45 with these words. He says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And what's really difficult about being a human being is that often puts you in the right place and the right time with the right amount of pressure. And your speech, your words will betray the true content of your soul. Because we have learned that it's often good in the right place at the right time to say the right thing. Socially, it's the right thing to do. Politically, it's the right thing to do. But if you put a person in the right place at the right time with the right amount of people and pressure around them, words will betray the content of their soul. The words are the truth to what's going on inside of this storehouse. It has the power to expose authenticity. Now, there is a way to control that, right? It's the content of your soul. It's the content of your heart. Out of the goodness of this content, goodness will come out. If you fill your heart and your soul with bitterness and anger and pride and all those kinds of things, eventually all of the fluffy, cool stuff will fall off and only that stuff will come out. if our heart is filled with Jesus and what God has called us to do, when there's pressure, things going on around us, that is the stuff that comes out. I went to visit Juan a couple weeks ago when he first went in the hospital. And the whole conversation I had with him was about Jesus. Because that's what he wanted to talk about. It's what fills his heart, it fills his soul, and not to try to make somebody better than the other people, because Juan's just like the rest of us. But he spent from 1951, 52, when he received Jesus, till now, filling his heart with those things. Words, and if you read the book of James, it talks about your tongue. Your tongue is this uncontrollable thing that you eventually can never really tame, because it is this epitome of this idea that we cannot speak out of a soured well really good words. Eventually this sourness will come out. If it's full of good, sweet things, then that's what's going to come out. So back up, you go back up to the verse 43. He kind of brings this understanding of what we see in other people to with a metaphor of a tree. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." So Jesus brings into focus this reality of our actions, whether they are words or deeds. And he reminds us that we cannot discern the content of a person in any other way than by their deeds. You can listen to someone's words and you can hope that they're true, but ultimately, their deeds are what is true about them. Because often those fine words are empty and they're harmful if the fruit of our lives do not line up with the words that we speak. Now, we're in kind of a culture war, so to speak, between secularism and those who would hope to have America still be, you know, somewhat Christian. And the reality is there's lots of people talking on TV about this stuff. Depending on what channel you get, do you get one side or the other? And that's all good, but all of that is words. All of that are words, is words. However that works out. Get my thesaurus out. It's all words. You don't get to see those people live out their lives in public. They sit on TV and they talk. You know, America should be like this. No, I think America should be like this. No, I think America should. And it's all about culture. It's all about morality. It's all about how we should be living our lives. But it's only people talking about it on TV. And let me tell you, it makes the money. At least it makes the TV channels money. It may not make the people money. Because it keeps us riled up. It keeps us going. But the truth is, you will never really know about someone's content of their words until you see them living it out. Matter of fact, we really don't need to talk about it on TV anymore. Because talking about it on TV is, again, just a bunch of words. If every believer who say they follow after Jesus Christ said, okay, I will live out what Jesus tells me to do. I will live it out intentionally. I will do it with all the power that I have around me. And they go and do that. Eventually, you will affect someone around you. And then they would affect someone. Eventually, you don't change the culture by putting people on TV. We believe that's true because that's what happens all the time. We change the culture about what in the kingdom of God by living out what Jesus told us. And this is what Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture. It doesn't matter what you say if what you say doesn't line up with what you do. Eventually, they will come to the tree that is you and want a piece of fruit that you're producing. And they will not get godliness if that's not what's inside. They will not see Jesus or receive Jesus if that is not what's inside. They can't. It's impossible. So then Jesus, and we're going to read a little bit from next week's passage, says this question. Jesus asks this question in verse 46 that will start us off next week. But this is a good place for us to end here. And he asks this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Discipleship is as simple as that. There are 1,000 books on discipleship. There are hundreds of gurus about what it means to make disciples. And it's all good stuff. Some of it's good stuff. Not all of it's good stuff. Not saying you shouldn't write a book on discipleship. Not saying we shouldn't buy stuff and try to help other people be better disciples. But the simple understanding of discipleship is that right there. You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. If you want to be my disciple, do what I say. As simple as that. Learning what Jesus says and living out what you learn. You write a discipleship book and it would be one page. You could sell it on Amazon for 99 cents. Let them download it. Now, we'll talk more about that and the rest of the chapter there next week. But what boils down for us in this week and what Jesus is saying in this portion here, what is the content of your soul? You have a storehouse. You have this place, this thesaurus, this storehouse, this treasure box in your heart. And it's full of content. What do you fill it with? How do you fill it? Is it filled with news, internet, pop culture, any other kinds of stuff? Whatever it is, whatever you call that, however you fill it, you deem it valuable or you wouldn't put it in there. Even if somebody else might find it trivial, you deem it valuable or it wouldn't be there. How do you fill the content of your soul, your heart? Because ultimately, that is what will bear fruit. This is what Jesus tells us in this section here. So next week we're going to talk about this idea of building a foundation on Jesus and where that goes from there. Our worship team is going to come and we're going to close. This is the crux of what it means to follow Jesus. This is kind of the bare bones understanding. We believe that He died for us on the cross. We believe that piece. And we put that into our little treasure box. And then we should then be about filling the rest of that box with what Jesus is calling us to do. And we read the Scriptures and we do all that kind of stuff. Because eventually it will bear out fruit. But if we spend time filling it, or not filling it at all, then it bears either bad fruit or nothing. So, as we go from here today, what is it that fills that box in your heart? That little spot that God has reserved for Himself?